Sir, wrong belief for all religions. In Buddhism, we take refuge in Triple Treasure. And in this book, at page 90, the second paragraph from the bottom, this expression of Sawaki Roshi's unsettling our lives is his way of explaining a passage found in the chapter entitled Kie Bukpo-ho, Bukpo-so, having faith in the triple treasures of the Shobo Genzo. It says, why should we have faith in the three treasures? And the reply is, because three treasures are one's final refuge. Refuge is not to something you can escape from. You can find some place in order to escape from the human world. Refuge is place where everyone has to go, like a terminal station. If you take a train of a human life, we have to go to the terminal station anyway. And then from terminal station, you can go and everywhere. You can go everywhere. So that is end, but it's not end, it's beginning. That means you have to see the depth, you have to see the depth of human existence. Without making your mind or consciousness blind. Anyway, using your knowledge, your mind, your brains, and then you have to see deeply into human life, human world. That terminal station is referred to as Triple Treasure, Buddha, Dharma, Sangha. Buddha is a person who, anyway, understand how to see, how to understand human life on the basis of impermanence, the law of causation. So his effort is always going, as I mentioned. That is called Buddha. Okay? If you do it, this is a Buddha. But everyday life is very difficult to do that because you have already your preconception, you have your own the customs and the heredities, etc. So that's why we have to come back to this way, constantly, what the Buddha did. Let's do the same things as Buddha did. Okay. So that's why we take refuge in the Buddha. Okay. So every day you have to come back hundreds, millions, thousand times. Anyway, come back to the Buddha's teaching. Not only once. You have to come back again and again. Because, just like a turtle, anyway, you have to just move. Without competition, without expectation of result, all you have to do is just do it. And the teaching is what is taught by this kind of person who understands the human world, who practices their own life on the basis of impermanence and law of causation. And also, this is a teaching, so all human beings has to hook it, and we have to grow by ourselves. But we have to, we need help. That is a teaching mentioned by Buddha. That is called Dhamma. And also, Sangha is, even though we have a Buddha or Dhamma, we need a human being who exists now. That is all of us. Practicing together, that place is called Sangha. Okay? And people come together and practicing Buddha's way, Buddha's teaching, and grow our life. Then at that time, we can become Buddha in the same way as Buddha Shakyamuni did. And we can transmit that teaching to the future generation. That is called human history. Okay? Human history. We can make a human history, we can make a human culture. Without human beings who exist now, we cannot transmit Buddha's teaching to the future generations. So all of us, we need all of us. And also place where we together practice Buddha way. That is called Sangha. That's why Buddha and teaching Dhamma, Sangha are anywhere terminal station we have to reach. And then we can see our lives extending in everywhere. And you can see your life in the universal perspective. If you reach the end of the layer rod, and then you can see your life in the universal perspective. So that's why Triple Treasure is, anyway, the final refuge. Refuge, he said. So in the ordination, we have sixteen precepts. First, Triple Treasure. This is the first step. Okay. Even though we don't understand, we have a determination to go to Buddha way. Okay? For this, first, let's have Triple Treasure. And then, if you get into the Buddha's way, Buddha's world, then how can you practice your life? That is a precept. Okay? 3 pure precepts and 10 prayavita precepts. Precepts are, anyway, a minimum teaching through which we can, anyway, manifest ourselves as a Buddha. Okay? Whatever you do, even one precept, if you obey, if you practice it, you really manifest. So in your daily living, you have to return to anywhere precepts again and again, 100,000 million times. Anyway, let's come back. That means let's manifest yourself as a Buddha in your everyday life. That effort is very important, just like a tortoise. Just walk like this. Okay. And this is real meaning. And then, very naturally, your life exactly fit to Buddha's way. Okay. That's simple explanation of precepts, true meaning of precepts.
You have a question?
Precepts. Can't remember exactly how the first one goes. Disciple of the Buddha avoids attachment and second.
And the abstain is the abstain with the purity of heart.
Oh, yeah, with purity.
We abstain from unwholesome.
All actions, yeah. At one time you translated as all actions that create attachment.
Maybe that I think they are abstain from unwholesomeness better.
It's more literal?
Mm-hmm. Well, even attachment is, that's all of it. And attachment is to attach to self. There is selfishness also. If you see the teaching, you attach to the teaching. So very naturally you accept the teaching as a moral sense. This is already you attached to you. And so you can see the teaching in terms of you. If you see the teaching in terms of you, teaching becomes moral or ethical. So that's why not attachment, no attachment to you to act. Anyway, you have to anyway accept the teaching as a Buddha. The practice of Toros. Okay? Toros practice.
Translating it in that way, to me, seems less ethical than using words like unwholesome, because unwholesome automatically triggers a moral sense.
Mm-hmm. But not thorough, I think, the accept the unwholesome as a result. Okay? You have to digest the unwholesome in your life, in your practice. Not do unwholesome. But we always see the result of the doing, not doing unwholesome. So all we have to do is Just practice, not do unwholesome. If you think it is unwholesome, immediately the unwholesome is idea of the unwholesome opposed to wholesome. So you attach to it. So you have to make the idea of unwholesome arrive in the practice, right in the middle of practice. Anyway, digest it constantly. If you stop it, you can see the idea. Stop means to start thinking. If you think it, immediately it's become idea of unwholesome. Just like practicing calligraphy, looking at the teacher's calligraphy, and then you follow that teacher's calligraphy. And then immediately you don't see good, you know. You see there's something wrong, always. And you see there's something good in the teacher's calligraphies. That is already dualistic. Think so? So whatever you see in the unwholesome in your calligraphy, all you have to do is just continue practice, just like a pulse. Beyond unwholesome or wholesome, just a practice. If you see that my teacher's calligraphy, in terms of you, it's not wholesome, it's unwholesome, don't you think so? Because you cannot exactly do it. So it's become unwholesome.
When you say digest it, what do you mean?
Practice it.
Return to your
sure.
breath.
Just accept it, just do it. See the teacher's calligraphy and just learn. That's it.
Mm-hmm. When it says refrain from evil and do good, could you say that evil would be something that's harmful or disturbing to others and good as something that's beneficial, or?
Yes, in terms of human speculation, if you don't handle the evils in an appropriate way, it hurts you. But in a broader perspective, evil is not something wrong, because through the evil you can learn a lot. What's something good? So, evil is deepening your life, in a sense. So that's why we have to deal with the evil in appropriate way. So you have to be more careful of dealing with the evil. You cannot mix that up with something good, don't you think so?
Well, it seems that, you know, it's been said before that, you know, something that's evil isn't always evil, but it's always changing, so that, you know, one day it might be evil and the next day...
Not evil. No? Yeah. One day is evil, but the other day
it's good.
Not good. Not evil. So it will become good, because you can learn the law.
So then what does that
mean? But you cannot say evil is always good. You cannot say evil is always good. Don't you think so? So that's why you have to deal with the evil on the basis of impermanence and also law of causation. Okay? If you don't deal with the carefully, very naturally, you can see the result in terms of law of causation. But on the other hand, if there is something wrong, no, you cannot ignore. Because evils and good, Buddhas, the angels, all sentient beings exist, completely beyond your speculation. So, working together. So that is impermanent. Okay.
So then what does it mean, refrain from evil?
That's why we have to refrain means keep your eyes open to deal with the evil. Okay? As it is. But you cannot say in the other way, you cannot say, I don't like evil. For instance, wind and tree. Wind sometimes destroy the tree. So you don't like a wind because you want to have a tree. Or you want to destroy the tree and you want to keep the wind because wind is nature. So you cannot do anything. You have to just accept both. Even though wind destroy in a tree. You understand? In terms of destroying the tree, wind becomes evil. But you cannot destroy the wind. So you should accept the wind as it is, that is the Buddha. So you have to completely free from idea of guru right now. That is, you should accept wind or trees on the basis of impermanence, equality. On the other hand, well, when the wind comes, you have to protect anyway trees as best as you can. But you cannot hit wind. Right? That is law of, according to the law of causation, you can deal with matters.
Can the wind be viewed as good in some way in that situation?
In a certain situation, wind becomes good, but in a situation, wind becomes bad, evil. But sometimes, in a situation, wind becomes complete beyond good or bad, right or wrong. So you cannot say anything about the wind. Don't you? There is a nature of wind. Under certain circumstances, it becomes evil. Okay? Sometimes good. Sometimes neutral. Sometimes nothing.
Well, could it be simultaneously good and evil?
Probably. If the wind becomes a big, huge monster, that time, the wind helps you very much, but it's big devils.
Whole point of when you're talking about something, you have to think about future in based on the impermanence.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're thinking like you are in a mindfulness or living in a practice time, everything you have to think, this is a good or bad, what you should do or you should not do this.
Mm-hmm.
You have to decide at that moment, which is always true in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
So when you said evil or bad, it could be wrong in the later future or in the past, but in that moment it must be true. That's why we believe that way, so that's why we can do something.
Yeah, like your head working very quickly, you know. Right after doing something and you can see the result of good or bad right now. And also you can see that something you will have to do. That is already you can see good or bad right now, quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But if you see good, you have to deal with the good as it is, next moment, okay?
Right.
And then right in the middle of the practicing the good, you cannot anyway expect a certain result.
Mm-hmm.
All you have to do is just deal with the good. Next moment, good turn into the evil as a result. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. So very quickly you can see, obviously you can see, you can handle very quickly. But it's a process, don't you think so? Process of human action.
The quickness of thinking is the same as being a mindfulness for all the way. Well, I remember that when you talk about something, doing that, you have to give in that moment which doesn't have a time duration at all. And, well, maybe this is just a statement of this question. I'm not sure we can think about, you know, we do something now and wait until the results come. Is the same thing doing something at right moment and being mindfulness in that moment?
Mindfulness is not forgetting the source of existence. In other words, you have to come back to yourself, to the center of the self.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you have to become under all circumstances. For instance, if you carry the 1 pound of rock, you say it's light. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Next moment, you have to carry the 5 pounds of rock, then you say heavy.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to, if you want to practice mindfulness, you have to, you shouldn't forget the source of existence means 1 pound of the rock or 5 pounds of rock are exactly the same. You have to handle 5 pounds or 1 pound are exactly the same. You have to deal with in the same attitude. That is not forgetting source of existence. For this, you must be very calm. You cannot be excited. If you're excited, immediately you stumble by idea of 1 pound. You understand?
Okay.
Are you saying to not make a judgment about something?
Well, you judge, I don't think on the purpose you should judge always and carried away by judgment. But judgment or result comes up naturally. Even though you don't want to judge, anyway, if you do something, very natural result there. So through the result, you have to see the hint what to do next. That is the result, instead of attaching, holding to the result. Okay. We're expecting something particular from the result. Is that all right? So mindfulness is a technical term in the Buddhism that is always one-pointedness.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yeah.
One-pointedness means you should be very calm, you should return to the center of yourself. Okay? Mm-hmm. If you see this book, if you see this table, if you see all of you, anyway, just sit down. Instead of being excited, being disappointed, or whatever. Anyway, sit down here. And then I can deal with table and book and all of you exactly in the same way. But if I don't, very naturally, I am excited. Or I am feared. I am fear of looking at the people. You understand?
Mm.
So as best as you can, we have to do like this. This is a practice and within the impermanence, so-called emptiness. So that is just like a water running very naturally. It's very hard. That's why we have to return 100,000 million times from moment to moment. We have to this practice. We have to practice like this. Do you understand? Constantly. But it's very difficult because mind comes first. Okay? Self comes first. And the body, they try to keep up with. Mm-hmm. That's why we don't understand exactly this kind of practice.
So if you really digest thinking in an impermanence, that means already you can talk to the mindfulness of the body.